The following program is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager Armando Alejandro Estrada.
You are tuned in to the one that innovated it all.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!
The evolution of online sports entertainment is back.
The boss is back!
WrestleTalk Radio is back on the air. Join us as we follow all the news and views from the WWE, TNA, and the indie circuit. With Bug.
I like your poetry.
And I like what you do to babies.
And the Omega Man.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
And now, get ready for WTR.
Politically incorrect.
I'm damn proud of it.
Are you listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network?
Welcome everyone to WTR Sunday night. We are minutes away from the finale of WrestleMania, and damn.
You mean minutes after?
Yeah,
the finale of WrestleMania.
We're still away from it. Just in that other direction.
Sure. And I just have to say one thing.
You have no
game.
Idea.
Game on. Oh, you know what? I gotta take this. I'll be back.
Oh, okay. That's supposed to be my co-host for the evening, Spug. I am the Omega, and I have no idea what he is doing. So we'll wait for him to get back. But in the meantime, we have Ace from Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Hey, how's it going, huh?
Hey, going good. You see the show?
Oh. You think that I didn't? Come on now.
I'm just making sure here.
Come on, I'm getting ready to get into the business, and you're asking me if I saw the WrestleMania show.
Just, I have to double check. I mean, I've been put on the spot before.
The Rock Stunner. Who the hell are you? chanting me in the thing, so I'm kind of confused. So, yeah. What was your overall speculation of the show?
You want a letter grade?
Yeah.
Oh, probably a solid A-. It was a damn good WrestleMania. There's a few spots I didn't agree with, but overall, I was very happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. I wouldn't give it an A-. I'd give it maybe a lower, half step lower into a B+, because of the botches that they did.
Oh.
The very noticeable botches.
Oh, Shelton.
Shelton, Christian, Taker.
You see, it wouldn't be a Money in the Bank ladder match if Shelton didn't blow the biggest spot of the night.
Mm.
That's the WrestleMania tradition at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, but it was just funny nonetheless.
Yeah. Oh, it's unfortunate. Just one of those matches that it's so complicated as it is. You know, why would you complicate it more with eight people trying to pull off the biggest moves they've ever made in their lives at the same time?
That is very true. That is true. I give props to Kofi, though, for what he tried to do when Mark Henry was lifting up the ladder. I give him some severe props for that.
Yeah, Kofi was awesome. The drop kick through the ladder, that I'd never seen that one before.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That, wow. Well, overall, I was quite pleased. I'm trying to think of something that I didn't actually agree with.
The only one I didn't agree with was, and I hate to say this, and I'll say this while Spug is off the air, because he won't be happy with this. I think it's a little predictable to see CM Punk win it again.
Yeah, I can.
I don't mind it. CM Punk makes a good Money in the Bank holder.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there wasn't anyone else in this match that was really hyped up properly in order to actually win it. There's no one else that I believed would win it.
Right.
And there's deserving ones. Like Kane's been out of the world title picture way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Christian is world title worthy if they would ever actually wake up and see that.
Right.
But they didn't push either one of them as a serious contender for it. And there wasn't any point where I believed, hey, someone else is about to win this match.
Right.
So that part got to me. But it was what it was. I mean, it's the Daredevil match of the night.
Mm-hmm. Not for nothing, though. I really, for some reason, have a feeling that Money in the Bank ladder match is going to be, like, synonymous with CM Punk.
I hope not. I can see WWE building a legacy for him off of his success there, especially if he wins the world title off of it again.
Right.
But at the same time, I hope he evolves past that, because you don't want, you know, your biggest WrestleMania moments to come in a match with seven other guys and a huge gimmick. You want to have the kind of match like Savage and Steamboat, you know, where it's just pure one-on-one, and it was still legendary.
Right. That's...
That being said, I think my favorite spots in the match came when there was no ladder involved. Seeing Hornswoggle dive off.
That was priceless.
That was hilarious. Okay, we are now joined by the other member of our usual trio, Nick from Australia. Welcome.
Well, well, well. It is I, the man whose wit is more tongue-in-cheek than a lesbian orgy, the sexual intellectual, Nick. And just like the night, I banged those pair of Swedish twins. The morning after, it's time to recap the night that was WrestleMania. How are you boys doing? Did it live up to the hype? Too short. And no, that's not what she said.
Oh.
Christ.
See, this is why Spug needs to be here on time, because I always beat him in the quantity of tasteless jokes.
Wow.
First of all, I've got to weigh in on Money in the Bank.
Uh-huh.
Disappointment. Very, very, very disappointing. Definitely the weakest Money in the Bank I have ever seen.
Really?
I'm waiting with that off the bat. I think that the Hornswoggle coming into a pile of people, I've seen it before. I think Mark Henry didn't add anything, although I was very relieved when Christian fell. I think it was Christian. When he fell off the ladder, Mark Henry caught him. Because I was like, oh no, second I saw it was going to happen, Mark Henry's going to botch this, we're going to have a real serious injury. And props to Mark Henry, he did catch him.
No, it wasn't Christian, I think. I'm trying to remember who it was now.
Okay, I'm not going to lie to you guys, this is, breaking character, but actually while I was doing the puppet show, I really fucked up my shoulder, so I'm kind of not 100% at the moment.
Wow.
So, in a lot of pain, caffeine, not quite the best painkiller. A Dick and Cider might be a good idea, but I don't think the energy drink is what the Dick and Cider I need. The other kind.
Oh, boy. Sexual healing?
Hey, crazier things have worked in the past. Okay, let's get back to the match, though. What were you thinking? I was very unhappy with CM Punk winning. I really was.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I think you're right. I think I caught a bit of it. I think you are right. We've seen him hold the Money in the Bank title before, and I don't think he's ready for the push. I really don't.
Well, it's not that he's not ready for the push. He's held the world title once, believably, before. He's really, I mean, in WWE time, yeah, he's really new to be in the world title picture. But he is a solid guy. He can hold a brand. He can have a good match any night you want him to.
See, but the thing is, he doesn't hold the locker room cred you need. I think Bret Hart said it best. It was, the second I had the title, I had to set the standard on what the matches should be.
Oh, yeah, that much is true. But the Money in the Bank is sort of like, well, you see, you know, like...
I know it's the new guy. Yeah, I think it's a new push, but, you know, I don't think you should have people who've already entered it before.
Yeah, that was the other thing about this one. There wasn't much new blood in the match. I mean, you had Christian, it was his first time, and I want to say Mark Henry's first, but he wasn't believable to be in there in the first place. You almost had a redo of last year's match, though.
As I said, I wasn't happy with Mark Henry from the beginning, and I'm not going to lie, I don't think Mark Henry proved me wrong at all.
Well, see, here's also the thing, though, when you think about having almost the same match as last year, is that the WWE isn't focusing on people, I hate to say it, but of, like, almost that weight class, that style of, you know, what they're able to pull off when it comes to these ladders and stuff like that.
Right.
So you got to think, well, with a limited group of people that can actually contend in that kind of a match, out of that limited group, who is actually worthy enough to be in the match at WrestleMania and who can actually carry the match? That's the problem that they're facing, because they don't have that almost like an X division that TNA has.
Right. Well, yeah, they completely crushed the cruiserweight division.
Got rid
of the chance. Yeah, they turned it into a joke by giving it the Hornswoggle. Then they completely did away with it. And most cruiserweights have been fired now. So it's, you know, just there's no division for that daredevil style of wrestler in the WWE right now.
Right.
Now I don't mind a big guy being in Money in the Bank. I just think Mark Henry doesn't suit it.
Right.
Mostly because it doesn't look like he can fit on a ladder to begin with. Yeah, I was worried about the ladder starting to poke holes in the ring if he started climbing too high.
Mm.
But it, you know, you have a power guy in there like that. He does provide some interesting spots. I mean, he was the one holding the ladder when Topi ran up it.
Right.
And that's the spot where he fell and got caught by Henry.
Right.
So that one worked.
Yeah, because that really could have turned out ugly if Henry didn't catch him. because that was he got pretty friggin' high.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Insert one of my classic rants here about where WWE just is lacking their talent.
Right.
I think Spug said it best yesterday. They've got the main eventers who are not currently in the main event being their mid-card guys. And it doesn't really balance well.
Mm. Well, speaking of the ugly match of this, Shelton Benjamin almost had me in this one. He almost had me. He had some good spots. He managed not to botch anything for the first half of the match. Then he did the run up the three ladders. I was going, oh my God, he's going to get out of this one. He's going to actually do it. And then he tried the sunset powerbomb, and oh God. Back to this. Yeah, it's the first time in a long time. I haven't heard the crowd chant "You fucked up" in a while now, and that was just as obvious as you could have gotten. But I don't want to just focus on the negative here, because we're bringing up a lot of the harsher spots. I mean, it was a decent, it's a spot monkey match, but it was a good one.
Mm. It was. It was.
You guys want to talk about a great match? HK Taker.
Yeah, but we're not there yet. We're going in order here, Nick. We're building up.
Bouncing around. People get confused.
Aside from flowing better, I want to wait until we get Spug back on. All right. And speaking of people coming on, someone new has joined us. Please introduce yourself.
This is Cliff Lee. How are you doing?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you back.
And we've been joined by someone else who I don't recognize this Skype name. Just hurry up and introduce yourself so we can move on.
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
What?
Hey, I'm walking here.
You don't recognize the Skype ID? That, ladies and gentlemen, is T to the I to the double MY.
Stop right there! I gotta know right now! Before we go any further, will you do me a favor and shut the hell up! Thank you, Nick! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, first off, and most importantly, I'd like to say thank you very much for joining us for the WrestleTalk Radio post-WrestleMania pay-per-view show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You make me cry. I am so happy.
Okay.
Sad work with me. Hi, guys. How are you? Long time no talk.
Yeah, welcome, boss man.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good. One of my co-hosts shows up.
One of your co-hosts showed up?
One of them.
Who?
The guy from Australia.
Oh, Aussie Nick, guy.
Yeah, Nick is here. We're still waiting on Spug, who apparently got lost on the way home.
I think he's pinching off a big one.
A little drunk.
On the way home.
Brewskis enjoying WrestleMania.
I'm just saying, I think he's pinching a big one off on the way home, if you know what I'm saying. And I don't mean he's visiting the bathroom.
He could be.
He
might be celebrating with his husband.
I'm just saying. So, Nick, I'm taking you to task, you little bitch, for dousing on the Money in the Bank match. What the fuck are you talking about?
It was a weak match.
It was a weak match. No, you know what a weak match was? Every single fucking match on the TNA pay-per-view last week. Okay, there it is. We talked TNA. No more TNA tonight. Got it?
Actually, there's an announcement coming at the end of the show.
Oh, my God. Right to the balls and then cuts it off.
Post-WrestleMania.
Hang on. Cliff, shush now. Nick does have a point. At the end of the show tonight, there will be a very, very important announcement that is going to affect the future of the Wild Talk Radio Network. In a very positive way.
Wow.
Oh, it's good to be free.
Okay, so we've got...
I just thought that they don't have the right card, and I think this match would be better suited to somewhere which had more of... I really think that this would be better suited to the guys in ECW, to the FCW people.
Huh?
The Money in the Bank ladder match.
How is that?
Well, I don't know if he's...
Okay, let me give you a perfect example of a guy who should be in there. And, Tim, I challenge you to argue with me this. You're telling me TJ Wilson wouldn't be better fit in there?
There is nobody named TJ Wilson in the WWE. What are you talking about?
Tyson Kidd.
There's some guy named Tyson Kidd who's just been called up, and he hasn't even gotten a push on real TV, just ECW TV, and it's been a very small one. He's not ready, Nicholas.
Yeah, but I'd rather see an unknown guy in the match who would really give it his all, and you can't tell me that wouldn't be a great fucking match.
Not at all.
No, it might not be a great fucking match. You don't put someone who's that new to the company into such a big event where he has to work with seven people at the same time. You have to put in someone you can trust. You have to put someone in you can trust in those situations.
Okay, yeah. Hang on, guys. Let me just clarify one thing. My buddy TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd in the WWE, who is better known in these here parts as the Stampede Kid, would absolutely tear the house down in a match with CM Punk, in a match with Shelton Benjamin, minus the botched spots that are basically, I don't know, it's in his contract.
How do you have a Shelton Benjamin match without Fox Spot?
No, it's in his contract. Shelton, listen. Wait a minute, no, that's the wrong guy. It would be Vince. Shelton, what we're going to do is we're going to give you a mini push, but you got to fuck up at least twice every match.
Okay, then I can do that. I can do that.
Gimmicks.
All right, then that's your gimmick. Okay, no. Okay, so Tyson Kidd would tear the fucking roof off the building in a match against CM Punk, in a match against Shelton Benjamin, in a match, believe it or not, against Kane. He would carry the big red machine like you would not believe. And I speak from personal experience, knowing how good this guy really is in the ring, having worked with him in Stampede Wrestling. But at this point in time, you cannot throw him into a TLC Money in the Bank ladder match. It's just not doable, and it would be extremely bad booking, and if that were to happen, they might as well hire Russo back and tell him to give the WWE TNA finishes for every match.
So everyone runs in, and every match ends on a disqualification.
Yeah, you know, or it's insanely overbooked.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, you want me to argue and dispute that with you? I'll dispute that till the cows come home. Or, wait a minute, I'm sorry. I'll dispute that till the roofs cross the highway, yeah.
You do realize kangaroos aren't that fucking common in Australia. I'm in Sydney. It's a city.
What about koala bears?
But you have to remember there that I'm hitting the stereotype, because that's what you're supposed to do with foreign countries. I know, I'm Canadian. Hey, you know, everybody expects me to say, how's it going, eh? You hoser?
Yeah, but you are the big hockey guy, so, you know, you're not helping yourself.
Okay, yeah, JBL's a wrestling god. I am the hockey god. Anyway, moving on.
Does that mean I should go on the stereotypes for Americans?
Whoa, we don't have time.
No, that's my job. That's my job. So, yeah.
People in glass houses should not throw stones, America.
I've got to say,
stereotype-wise.
Just leave the residents of the United States of America to me, okay? Thank you.
I like my glass house. You know how much I save on light bulbs?
Oh, my God, yeah, but geez, try to take a shower or even masturbate in private.
That's what makes it fun.
It's probably a good goddamn thing Spug's not here right now.
Probably not.
Very funny. Okay, so where were we? The Money in the Bank match. Nick, I'm taking you to task. I'm sorry. Very, very short, very, very quick. You tell me right now. Give it a rating out of 10.
3.
Okay, you give it a 3. Go sit in the corner. Cliff.
I'd say a 7-8.
Okay, Ace, you still with us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, bro.
Michael? I'd say an 8.
You see how I did that, right? I spoke Bostonese to him. I said, Michael.
Yeah.
Slip that right in there. Omega, your turn, son.
Probably a 7.
Okay, I give it a 7.25. And the reason why I give it a 7.25 is because it had some minor, insanely good spots.
Oh, mostly involving Kofi.
Now, you can...
Not at all.
No. Shelton Benjamin.
Undertaker, Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels kicked out of every one of his finishes.
Whoa. Pacing.
We're talking money.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Money in the bank.
Trust me, we can't talk about
that. Did anybody else miss Christian hitting that kill switch? You notice he messed it up?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he missed
kill switch.
Yeah, he tried to hit the kill switch on Prettier off of the two ladders. I'm not sure that was mostly his fault. I mean, the guy that who was he hitting that on?
CM Punk.
Yeah, he didn't go down fast enough, so Christian actually hit the mat first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe not all his botch on that one.
Good move. So what do you think about CM Punk winning back to back?
I wish someone else. Yeah, we went over that, and I'll say it again. I wish someone else had been at least pushed to be a believable person who could have also won the match. It seemed a little too obvious that CM Punk was going to walk away with it.
Now, I just want to say that they've got plans for CM Punk. They've had plans ever since they gave him the world title, and those plans won't be realized until next fall. Do not expect CM Punk to hold on to the MITB and actually be the one cashing it in. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. All right.
I think that could be that could be good to watch.
So, like, give them the benefit of a doubt and trust me on this. And Ace, you're working on getting into the business. You can see where I'm going from a booking angle on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think?
Oh, that was very enlightening. Thank you.
That was exceedingly enlightening. He apparently has no thoughts about it whatsoever. Oh, that felt better.
That's
oh, dude, I smelt that from over here.
It was funny to me. That's all.
Everyone laugh at the boss. You must.
No, you don't have to laugh at the boss.
I don't have to laugh for anybody or anything.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah, Nick, you don't have to. Wait a minute. That was Ace talking. Finally.
Oh, fuck off. Okay. Speaking of a good laugh, we want to move on to the Diva Battle Royal.
Oh, come on! Oh, that was awesome. Let's talk about
love that in Marilla.
Let's talk about the twin sister, baby.
That's all you.
I really don't want to talk about that match. That was such a disappointment.
That was hilarious. How can that be a disappointment? The entire match was nothing but a comedy spot to begin with. And if you were expecting anything different, Cliff, you're crazy.
Well,
absolutely 100% nuts. Sorry, Omega, go ahead.
Okay, I kind of agree with that sentiment. Not yours, Tim. Sorry. I was disappointed with the match because they played it up so much. You know, we have bringing in divas that haven't been in the ring for years. We're going to, you know, this is like a big celebration, big thing for the diva division. And they turned it into a joke. I mean, that's an entire legacy. Everyone they brought back, everyone that used to be these big names in the women's division, and they spat on it by making this one big Santino Marella joke.
Yeah.
But, come on, you had to know that that was going to happen like a month ago when they started teasing it before they actually threw him in with the Divas.
That's where my fault comes in. You already did the joke on Monday. They didn't have any point to bring it back and just make, okay, the man thong was bad enough.
The man-teen.
the Mankini, whatever. I don't want to think about it. Thank you, Tim. Yeah.
Here you go.
Looks like you're smuggling grapes.
Okay, you know, the one thing for Santino Marella.
What was that?
What do you mean, what was that? You don't know when somebody fires a gun?
That was like one of the old Western ones.
Yeah.
The kid thought it was...
He brought the soundboard, people.
Oh, jeez.
Welcome to Soundboard Sunday Nights right here on the Wrestle Talk Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, I just wanna interrupt right now and just let everybody tuned in right now know that the phone line is open. Feel free to call in any old time, and if I knew the number off the top of my head, I'd tell you what.
267-297-1397.
Thanks for waiting until I gave you the cue. Yes, TK, even you can call in, but you have to behave and kiss everybody's feet.
Very specific requirements.
I usually take showers in the morning, so he's in trouble.
Well, no, I haven't washed my feet all day, so.
He's in double trouble then.
There you go. Okay, we got somebody on the line. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
It's George calling from Colorado Springs.
Hey, George, how you doing this evening? Thanks for calling to Wrestle Talk Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to know where you thought the Taker Shawn Michaels match rated all-time WrestleMania matches.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's definitely going to be up there in the top five. Guys, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that match was, that went, oh, my God. I love a match where no matter how well it's, no matter how it's built up and no matter how much you're sure someone's going to win, they can still put the disbelief into you. And old school guys like Taker and HBK are awesome at that. I mean, there was at least, you know, at least a good 5-6 spots in there where I was sure this match was done, and they still managed to pull it out. And it's an old fashioned story in the ring, and it was awesome.
So, George, what was your take on the match? What did you think of it?
I thought it was top five all time. And the other thing I was impressed with tonight was Ricky Steamboat's been out of business for so long, and the way he performed tonight was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. You know, watching the Dragon work the ring with Jericho, I expected Jericho would have to carry all the legends just because of their age and you know, slowly creeping lack of mobility that brings. But Steamboat did not look. You got to forgive me. I'm old school, man. I'm like not that much younger than him. But
I saw WrestleMania 3 when him and Macho Man went at it. And when he went over the rope tonight and came back in the way he did old school, it was just amazing.
Yeah, I'm wondering personally why he's retired after watching his match tonight. I think the kid can I think the man can still go.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was awesome tonight. Not a bad show. Disappointed with the Divas match. That was a terrible ending. They pretty much just dissed the whole the Divas the way they ended that tonight. But, you know, whatever.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is true. Any comments before we let you go and move on to the to our next caller there, George?
No, not at all. Just, you know, not a decent pay-per-view. It was good to see Stone Cold and Taker, Shawn Michaels. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Take care, guys.
Thanks for calling in, man, and hope that you keep tuning in every show that we do. Everybody, once again, phone lines are open, and go ahead, Nick.
Nick. Earth to Nick.
Yay.
Sure. You know, I give Nick the chance to actually put out the phone number, and it's the only time he shuts the fuck up. Omega, go ahead.
Well, now that we finally have him on, let's officially introduce Spug to the show.
I told you I'd be back.
Oh, wait a minute. Spug, listen. That wasn't applause for you. That was applause for me.
Right.
Just so you know.
He's got a couple hundred people over there right now.
Yeah. So what the hell brought your ass out of the nursing home for this week's show?
I watched WrestleMania tonight and thought, wow, what a good match.
That car, you know what? I enjoyed that show. It was a fantastic pay-per-view.
Listen, this is the first pay-per-view I have enjoyed in about 7 months. You and I have been talking back and forth after every pay-per-view, practically. And,
yeah, after I get off the air, we sit there and BS for another hour and a half.
Yeah, we could do our own post-WTR show. I don't know.
Exactly.
Overtime. But, I really did enjoy tonight. The only thing that I really, really, really was disappointed about, and we're going to get back on track with everything else in just a quick sec, though. I really was disappointed with the way they booked the last three matches. Now, I don't mean how they did it or anything like that, but let's face it, guys. Taker Michaels killed the last two matches.
Oh, yeah. That's what me and Spug were talking about before the show. You know, it's just them in the background going, how are we supposed to follow that?
Yeah. Before those two matches, you know, before those two matches, I was talking to, I called Omega immediately after
Michaels.
Yeah, Taker Michaels. And I'm like, dude, how the hell do you, you know, how the hell do you follow that? How the hell do you do anything, you know, after that? They should have done one of the two title matches before that match.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
And I think one of the matches that derailed the show, that absolutely derailed the show, was the Legends match. Because that ending just didn't fit. The ending didn't fit, and it should have been, what it really should have been was, you know, Rourke coming over the rail and getting in the ring and saying, you want a shot at me? You want me to apologize? Well, you got one more Hall of Famer to get through. And then having the glass break and Austin coming out. Because that right there would have been the proper ending. And, you know, you can have Rourke go over and Flair would be there, you know, and there would be stunners all around. And it would work. And they didn't do it. And it just kind of left you with a, huh, kind of feeling the end of that.
Yeah, I was telling Spud I was waiting for the Ram Jam, because that's what everyone was waiting for, to end the whole thing. And it didn't work. Yeah, that part didn't work for me either.
Seeing as
you're not afraid of controversy, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Money in the Bank quickly.
Shelton Benjamin got hurt, fucked up the real ending.
Yeah, Shelton just about killed himself, by the way.
That's what that was. I guarantee you that's what that was. Shelton got hurt, fucked up the real ending.
What do you think the real ending was supposed to be?
Shelton and CM fighting on the top of the ladder, and then Shelton hitting the T-bone or something off the top, climbing back up, grabbing the Money in the Bank?
No.
Well, I mentioned when we first talked about Money in the Bank that it's in Shelton Benjamin's contract. He's got to fuck up at least twice every match.
You know,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you can't really say that, because Undertaker damn near broke his own neck tonight too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's done that spot before. He knows. He knows how to hit that.
Yeah, yeah, but he also, I think he also killed a cameraman in the process.
The cameraman fucked up and obviously missed the rehearsals and shit like that. He was too far away. And you see how he threw the camera away and went to go and grab Taker? Totally mistimed the Taker's flip. Completely mistimed it. And that's why Taker landed on his head.
That camera guy's fired.
Well, it's probably one nighter anyway. They usually hire someone, a local wrestler, they have a stunt like that.
I tell you what, though, I about had an aneurysm, and I'm sure we're gonna get into this later, but as long as we're just kind of babbling along here, I about had an aneurysm when I saw the army of Cena clones march out.
I thought that was fucking great.
Dude, no, that wasn't great. That was my worst nightmare.
I tell you.
awesome.
The army of Cena clones. I think I shit my pants, had an aneurysm, and a heart attack all at the same time.
Yeah, the one thing going through my head. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, God, no. They've seen my nightmares.
Yeah, all I could think of was a bunch of stormtroopers just walking out. And just like, you know what? As if one, hogging merchandise wasn't bad enough. Now I have to deal with like 90? Just shoot me.
Yeah,
just shoot me.
The fact that they came out to the to his old music, to the first one that he had, and then I thought it was really good. I'm sorry, I really really enjoyed it.
And we got a caller on the line. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I am good. This is Kaney.
This is Kaney, huh?
Oh, yes.
What a Omega friend.
Welcome to the show.
Glad to hear that somebody else hates Cena as much as I do.
I don't think there's anybody, Spud.
No. There are plenty of people. And I tell you what, real quick. I had 9 texts. I counted them. 9 texts. After Cena won the title, they all came in and said, "You can't see me." And that about I had an aneurysm about that. So, before we get into your thoughts on the actual matches, what were your thoughts on the pay-per-view as a whole, Kane?
I think you guys agree that the HBK Taker match pretty much took it all, and I think that pretty much made WrestleMania.
Absolutely, that match made WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Well, you knew that going in, because the two worked so well together the last two times they hooked up. I mean, you knew this one was going to be off the chart.
Exactly.
Right, and I mean, I think one of the matches that broke it, in my opinion, is, I don't know, I don't like Cena very well, and the Edge Big Show thing is kind of sucky, so,
it's
kind of
played out, huh?
I knew that Cena was going to win just because he was, I guess, the odd man out, and, everyone loves him, so let's give him the title again at WrestleMania, and, you know, we could have the 10-year-old go crazy at school the next day.
Somebody else sees it my way. It's fantastic.
I fully expected to see Edge retain, and I thought for sure, Cena does not need that belt. Show does not need that belt, but I thought for sure that Edge would hold on to it. And I'm completely surprised.
When SmackDown came on and Vicky said, "The winner gets me," I expected Cena to throw the match.
I didn't.
And that would have made me, I mean, world title, is that worth it? No.
Well,
I thought maybe the Big Show would just pull it off because he's kind of the middleman, and then that would kind of ruin their quote-unquote marriage and maybe kind of split it up and take Vicky a different direction. I mean, I personally don't like her and what they've done with her, so.
She's money grubbing.
Oh, I've got a little bit of a news item to drop as far as Vicky Guerrero being the GM for SmackDown. That, according to certain sources, isn't going to be much longer if Vince McMahon gets his way.
She's doing a horrible job, dude.
Well, you see, here's the thing. Vince is doing what he can to try to convince Nature Boy to come back as SmackDown's general manager.
Good luck.
I didn't say it was gonna happen. I just said that's the storyline for now. Like, you know, the news story.
Yeah, you never know. Put enough zeros on a paycheck.
It could happen.
Good luck.
Hey, me as a WWE fan, I will gladly contribute a few dollars if it will get Vicky off of my TV.
Thank you.
I believe as a world, we can get public service announcements for that one.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, can I just do this one thing for Vicky Guerrero?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Well, my whole contention with Vicky is that she is money grubbing.
Well, I wouldn't say she's money grubbing so much as WWE, Reed Vince, is still feeling pretty bad about Eddie's tragic demise. And this is Vince's idea on making it up to her.
He just said, here's $3 million, and we'll just say that's like royalties in the future that are going to be made anyway. But you know, you know what, Vicky? Why don't you just come onto one of the shows and do something?
Unfortunately, one of the worst ideas Vince ever had, and in irony, it's when he's being the most charitable. Maybe he shouldn't have lost that skullduggery attitude he had in the 90s.
Vince is absolutely no good at being nice, and so he should try.
You know what? I want to know what was up tonight. The actual main event of the show, the Orton Triple H. You see Orton, or you see Triple H walk into do his entrance, which I thought that was so cool, the sledgehammer going through the glass.
Yeah.
But you see Triple H walk in, and up comes Shane and Vince. And like, there was the perfect spot for a little bit of dialogue, and there was just this look.
I'm going to interrupt you right now. I'll let you finish what you're saying right now. But I'm telling you, it was more powerful that they didn't say anything, Spud. Go ahead.
But the look on Triple H's face was, I got a job to him. That was the look on Triple H's face was, I got a job to him?
Okay, now we know why his movie's been delayed so fucking long. But still, the idea was better than if they had said shit to each other.
Yeah, silence can speak a lot more than words in some situations. That was just a tense moment. Everyone already knew everything that had to be said, so why say anything?
I agree.
But you know what, Kaney, you called in to talk, so go ahead. Tell us your thoughts.
Oh, no, I'm just, you know, like I said, first-time caller, I guess. I've been on a leave, so to speak, finishing up my degree, and, you know, I'm on sort of a small vacation and tuned
nice.
In, and Omega led me here, so. But,
nice.
Yeah, overall, I missed the first part. I missed the ladder match and the Diva match, and I got the last bit of Jericho. But I guess from what you guys were saying, it's a good thing.
Yeah, you didn't miss much on the Diva match either.
Yeah, not a hell of a lot.
Yeah, I miss, you know, the really hardcore Diva matches. I read that I think Victoria had her last match on Friday or something. To me, it's kind of heartbreaking because she's one of my favorite Divas, and she's pretty tough. That's why I like her. I've been on the leave, so to speak.
I have a feeling you just made a fan out of Tim Stein.
Tim, tell her about your dear friend.
No.
Yeah, a little obsession with Victoria?
I don't have any obsession with Victoria.
If you want good female wrestling, you want
just
to check out...
Gotta wipe the chin right back. Be right back. Gotta wipe the chin.
Tim, let's put it this way.
She's my future ex-wife. Shut up.
Let's put it this way, Kane. When we get off the air tonight, Tim is going to go watch his DVR'd copy of WrestleMania just to beat off to the parts that Victoria was in.
That was absolutely uncalled for, Spug.
Yeah. And totally true.
You're the porn king of the network. Shut your face, man.
Dude. I'm not denying that. We're not denying that.
I just want to say, Kaney, sweetie, thank you very much for calling in. It was great to hear from you, and we hope that you keep joining us for all of the WrestleTalk Radio shows that we have here every Sunday night.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
TK in our chat room is saying, how about how about Ray's mask? That mask was shitty.
Why so Christian?
That mask was absolutely horrible.
I don't know if you guys could tell. I don't know where you watched the pay-per-view, but did you notice that Ray even spray-painted his 5 o'clock shadow on his head green?
Yeah, I saw that.
Again, that was horrible.
But hey, you have to give JBL credit. He was right. He was going to make history at WrestleMania 25, and he sure did. Quickest fucking squash match for the IC title ever.
That's the quickest loss at WrestleMania ever.
21 seconds.
No, did Yokozuna lose to Hogan faster than that?
Nope.
Oh, yeah,
nope.
It was Kane and Chavo, ECW title.
Yep.
Thank you, Rock.
I would just like to say who called it with JBL.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We were picking matches. It doesn't mean you called your shot.
I called it. I said he was going to retire tonight, and he did.
Yeah, but we all of us said he was going to retire tonight. But anyway, we're going to go to a quick break right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You're listening to the WrestleMania wrap-up show right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Wild Talk Radio Network brings you an in-depth look into the world of pro wrestling with Joe Bergitz, The Wrestling Report.
Oh my God!
Covering all of the latest WWE and TNA news, topical wrestling discussions, and more.
Know your role and shut your mouth!
Plus, you never know who may stop by and join in on the conversation.
Hey, this is former WWF wrestler, Rory McAllister.
Hey, this is Scott Hudson from WCW and the WWE.
It's Joe Bergitz, The Wrestling Report, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Attention ATS soldiers, I want to remind you to check out across the field.
What is that? What the fuck is that?
Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on WildTalkRadio.com. As Spud...
What's your name, scumbag?
...and Deal...
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
...go across the field covering the world of professional sports and providing their unique spin on everything going on.
Are you about to call me an asshole?
So, ATF soldiers, remember, every Thursday night, we'll head to the battleground and go across the field. 6 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
I'll be watching you.
At ease.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every single Wednesday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topics, and you lead the discussion.
What a stop by Kiprasov! Rebound! Oh, an even better save! They score! Dustin Boyd cutting the lead to two.
Jump into the play, and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
This is Chris Vianney, DNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, the WrestleMania wrap-up show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. With me, as always, is Nick and Omega, but we're joined by somebody else right here, the one and only Cliff Lee, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Wrestle Talk Radio. How you doing tonight, man?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Did you enjoy the pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, I was actually watching on the internet, and then my girl was like, this sucks, man, so we just ordered it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. So, you know, let's start off with the Money in the Bank. You know, I think I gave my opinion. I enjoyed it. Missed spots, but other than that, it was a pretty good match. And the Divas, Santina Marella was absolutely hilarious. But let's get to the next one on the card. That was the Hardys. And that was another one that I thought ended prematurely, simply because Jeff took that leg drop bump off the top of the ladder, and it looked to me like he landed wrong and landed directly on his tailbone and possibly broke something. So what I want to do is, you know, it was a good match. It was a solid match. There was some crazy stuff done that just made me go, I can't fucking believe they just did that. But what I want to do is I want to go around the horn, and let's start with Cliff, since he was so gracious enough to join us. Let's just get everybody's opinion around the horn. Cliff, go ahead. Tell us your thoughts, man.
All right, which match were we talking about?
Hardys.
I thought it was good. Jeff Hardy put his body on the line numerous times, where he hopped over the ladder and fell, no one underneath. I predicted it yesterday. I said Matt Hardy would probably win with an upset, and he did. Overall, I thought it was a great match. I'm kind of glad that it wasn't like a mutual tie or anything. Like, oh, yeah, you know, hey, I got respect for you. You fought your butt off, you know. I'm glad there was a winner. Matt Hardy was a choice, and I think this will be pretty good as far as career-wise, getting a win over his brother, who's more up there as far as notoriety.
Okay.
That's all I got to say about that.
Omega?
Through the match, I was more curious about what the prop department was doing underneath the ring before the show, because you had, I know it's a hardcore match and you expect, you know, ladders, you expect garbage cans, kendo sticks, and all that. That's okay. The first thing that came out from underneath that ring was this big picture from a WWE magazine cover, and at some point a shop vac came out from underneath the ring.
Right.
Yes, it was just the, what are you doing? Yeah, it's just the most random hardcore match I'd ever seen in my life at that point. But it was a good match. It was the match I expected the first time Matt and Jeff went against each other. And that's really what I wanted to see from them all along. And that was the thing that everyone was asking me leading up to the show. Well, they did this before and it wasn't that good. And, you know, they didn't work very well. And wasn't someone nursing an injury at the time? I mean, wasn't that the whole reason that it was a crap match the first time they attempted this?
I believe so. I do believe so.
Yeah, because I remember they kept a very grounded match. They didn't wrestle the Hardy style.
Right.
It was nice. It was a redeeming match for the two. I'm hoping this isn't over, because you're right. It seemed like it ended prematurely, but I wouldn't say it was due to a sudden injury, because
it looked like Jeff coming off that ladder hurt himself, though, did it not? I mean, he landed flat on his ass. He wasn't leaning back at all like you're supposed to with that kind of a bump.
Yeah, it didn't look like he came down. Yeah, it didn't look like he came down very well, but I wouldn't say it was a botched spot or an injury, because they didn't just pin him right away. The match ended on the twist of fate with his head in the still unfolded steel chair, which was a sick spot to finish on. I love that one. So I don't think, you know, I don't think anything went totally wrong, but I did think the match ended a little faster than it should have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nick?
Well, I've only actually seen highlights of this match because I was actually at work for half of the pay-per-view. But it looked to be like a pretty solid match. I really liked the finishing spots. The two, Jeff Hardy coming off the top, it looked good. And Matt's finish with the twist of fate in the chair, I think it was definitely that extra something that the match needed for the finish. But you're right, it seemed like it was too short a match.
Like I said, to me it looked like somebody got hurt. Like Jeff got hurt when he fell off that, you know, he came off that ladder. So, but, and I'm assuming that Rock really has no opinion, or else he would be talking. So let's move on to the next match that was on the card, and I do believe that was Rey Mysterio and JBL. And
hold on a second, Rock just wants me to voice his opinion. Fuck you, Spuck.
We've already had that.
That is his opinion.
That is his opinion. It's always his opinion. But let's move on, and we'll go the opposite direction this time. We're going to start with Nick, and we will end with myself. But
we start with yourself. We ended with you last time.
No, we ended with you. Anyway.
Okay. I'm on painkillers at this point.
But JBL, Rey Mysterio.
Well, first off, let's get something out of the way. What did everyone think of Matt's new look?
I'm just going to tell you real quick. I know where that's from. Just like when I was talking to you on the phone, and you said Jeff looks like one of the cannibals from Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. That face paint is from his Itchweed persona. It's one of the face paint Itchweed wears. Matt's new gimmick is his alter ego, the Angelic Diablo, I believe he calls. Don't ask me how I know this. I don't want to know. I just know this shit because I am forced by my wife to watch the Hardy Show. But that is where that persona comes from. I like it. I do. It's a darker version of V1, I think.
Yeah, V1.1, I think, at this point. I was scared of the trench. I first saw him come out, and he was wearing that coat. It's just, oh God, he's in Edge's wardrobe now. No, it's a short version. It works for him. I like the new look. I mean, the Hardy Boys have always had kind of this meshing punk look. So
right.
I'm glad they're separating them apart. I think it should have come a little bit sooner, but I'm glad they're doing
probably
it now. Okay, so we want to move on to the quick match of the night.
Yeah, the that was the pee break match. You know what? I thought the Divas Battle Royal was going to be my piss break match. This was this match was my piss break match.
No, you didn't have time to piss during this match.
That's what I said. It was my piss break match. I walked away to piss and came back and it was over.
Are you okay? We going okay, Spug? We going around the horn, or are you just going to?
Yeah,
well,
I you know was letting out the match, and now Nick with his opinion. Go ahead.
Okay. Yet again from the highlights, I think it was just bad booking. I really do. I would have loved to have seen the Legends all give Jericho their finisher.
Wait.
I would have liked to have seen a different ending on it.
We aren't on the Legends match. We touched on that one before.
So, what are we on? I'm on Tuner.
We're talking about JBL Rey Mysterio.
Oh, sorry. I'm really out of it. Yeah, it was 21 seconds. Why are we spending any more on it than we need to? I mean, I think Spug said it best the other night. You go out on your back, it was what JBL was doing.
Oh.
I don't think it goes any further than that.
JBL's not really a legend, though.
It doesn't matter if you're a legend or not. I think it was doing the right thing and going out on your back and putting over Rey Mysterio, which is what it needed to done. Because for how many years has he been ragging on Rey Mysterio?
Yeah, but he also respects the hell out of Rey Mysterio.
He's gained a lot of
momentum from his work with Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio is not going anywhere in the industry. He's going to be in there for a while now. Put him over. Put the kid over.
Fair enough.
I think that covers it.
Omega?
Okay, JR mentioned something during this match, and it made me realize just what my biggest problem was. This was the first time the Intercontinental title has been defended on Mania in 7 years. And if you've listened to WTR enough, you know my beef with putting the Intercontinental and the U.S. champions in the Money in the Bank and not defending the belts on the biggest show of the year. That being said, for the first time in 7 years, and they make it a squash match, I have a big problem with that. I mean, I thought it was a travesty. I mean, the IC belt during Mania, especially in the heyday of wrestling, that was one of the best matches of the night, because it was those two underdog guys with a champ, and they're, you know, both top level mid carders, but they're still going for a championship, so they're going all out and they're trying to prove themselves, because that's what moves you up the ladder the next year. And when you take the IC belt out of the equation for Mania, you ruin that. You completely throw out any kind of feeling to that.
Oh, I don't. I think if you were going to set it up properly for the next guy to take the next step, then, you know, you should have had CM Punk or somebody in that. I don't see why you put the belt on Rey Mysterio other than to get it off of JBL because he's retiring and leaving, and, you know, and to get it back into circulation. Is Rey Mysterio that big of a main event player, a mid-card main event player? No, he's not.
No, not that. See, I don't have any problem with him as the Intercontinental Champion. I just don't think I think it should have been a harder fought match than that.
All right.
Are we holding off the post match events as well, or
what of this one when JBL said I quit?
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I did like that they were hyping up the whole history thing, and I will admit I called it wrong. I thought he was going to become the next Grand Slam champion at Mania. He went ahead and did that a little early.
Right.
And for Davey, I'm a little bit disappointed that that was the history-making moment. You know, not such a fast squash match, but quitting at Mania, which, okay, no one's ever done that before, but what was this, some like backup plan, or was, you know, I wish there was something a little bit more to that, you know, because it just seemed, you know, we all knew it was coming, but at the same time there wasn't anything building to it.
Right. Cliff?
Sorry about that, I was a little distracted. Some weird person's like hit me up on my cell. What was the question?
We're talking about the Mysterio JBL.
Well, believe it or not, I thought it was a great tribute to Heath Ledger when he came out. Yeah, never expected him to come out with looking like a clown and somewhat. I thought he was twink for a second. But overall, hey man, that was some quick time. JBL thought he had the upper hand, out of nowhere, 619 jumps off the top, lights out. It was quick. And it was kind of sad that he couldn't go off into the sunset, JBL, as far as being champion and retiring. But, hey, I guess he's out of here. He quit. Got to move on. New chapter being written in wrestling history.
Fair enough. And you know what? The thing with it is that I kind of went, that's got to be the quickest, you know, loss in JBL's career. Losing like that, especially at Mania. And when he said I quit at the end, I'm like, yep, it's over. Thank God. We're done with this.
I will give him one thing. I did like the Joker outfit.
I thought it looked horrible.
I thought it was hilarious, you know, rocking the green suspenders and everything. I thought what made it funny to me was all the times he's come out dressed up as superheroes, you know, done up as Silver Surfer or the Flash, and now he's coming out as a psychotic villain.
Right.
Everybody loves Heath Ledger.
Yeah, but you'd think, okay, if we're gonna turn Rey Mysterio a heel, instead of dressing up as superheroes, we'll do super villains, you know. You know, I figured you'd save it for something like that.
I don't think they're turning him heel, though.
No, not at all.
Really don't think they're turning him heel. And the thing with it is that Rock is telling me that this is the second time JBL has quote-unquote quit after wrestling and losing to Rey Mysterio. So, we'll see where this goes. But we have a phone call. We have a caller on the line. Welcome to...
Hi, guys.
Who's this?
It's Amy.
Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Yep.
Is this Amy?
I actually...
Jersey girl
this is Amy.
Houston?
Yes, the Jersey girl that's in Houston.
this is the one who was at Mania.
Yes.
So what'd you think? What'd you think? Was it a spectacle worthy of being called the granddaddy of them all this year?
Let me just tell you, it was so good that me and my friend are talking about going to Phoenix next year.
Oh, I'd love to go to Phoenix.
I would have been on, like, Skype, but the stupid internet access on this hotel sucks.
That happens.
They said, like, you can get online for, like, free down in the lobby, which is where I am now. And they're like, oh, yeah, but I can't get any access at all down here. And I'm not paying 12-something in my room just because I'm leaving at, like, 10 a.m.
Right.
Going back. So I'm like, I'm like, piss off. This is how I'm calling in. But... One of my buddies just said that we were on the WWE.com fan access day 3. We have a pick on there.
It's nice.
22. We're on the WWE website.
Nicely done, madam.
So, we're kind of excited about that. But yeah, I mean, the whole experience was awesome just for the fact that, you know, we walked around for, like, hours meeting WWE superstars like Natalya and Tyson Kidd and trying to think about Teddy Biasi Sr. We saw Jim Duggan. Flair did a Q&A in the ring.
How was that?
Was there. That was awesome. Because,
was it?
Flair is just, you know, classic all the way. I mean, he was so cool. when Jimmy Hart was there, so that was neat. I actually got to go in the ring with Jimmy Hart, so, and participate in something, but I didn't win it.
That still would have been cool, to be in the ring with Jimmy Hart. To be in that ring?
Yeah, to be in the ring with Jimmy Hart was just awesome. I was like, sweet, I'm in the ring at WWE Access with Jimmy Hart. All right, this rocks. So, but yeah, it was also funny, because me and my friend were walking around during the, I think it was the second session, and I looked over, I literally looked over, and walking towards me is Linda McMahon.
Really?
And I was like, I stopped for a second, I looked, I was like, hi, Linda. And she's like, oh, hi, and then walked away. And I was like, oh, shit, that was Linda McMahon.
That's cool. I mean, that's cool that you got to, you know, you got to meet her.
Well, I didn't get to meet her, I just got to say hi to her, but she's like, hi, and then walks away, and I was like, shit, that was Linda McMahon.
Okay, so I believe the consensus amongst everybody was Taker HBK was the best match on that card.
Okay,
hell yeah.
Sure.
How electric was that arena?
Oh my gosh, that crowd, every time, like, HBK kicked out or Taker kicked out, we're like, oh, damn. And that's just, like, the reaction. Just every time they kicked out, we're like, damn. Oh, my gosh. You know? And I called it. I'm not sure if Rock played it, but I called in and left a message. And I was like, 17-0! And when I paid, like, a little announcement, I was talking about Access. I think I called in during the Hall of Fame last night. And I'm sure you guys play that, too. I just got to listen to the archives.
Did you get to go to the Hall of Fame ceremony?
Yeah, I went to the Hall of Fame. I actually called you guys live from the Hall of Fame.
How was the ceremony?
It was pretty quick. I was surprised. It went by really quick. They first inducted Terry and Dory, and then they went from there to, like, Howard Finkel, Coco Beware. Frankie actually tried to take the paper from Coco, the bird.
Mm-hmm.
But that was funny. And Todd Grisham's like, Frankie left us a present on the stage. stuff like that. It was just random stuff. It was funny, though. But the stuff that you saw on television from Steamboat and Austin, they cut that down to fit it in, because those speeches were much longer than that.
Were they?
Yeah, Steamboat was about maybe 10 minutes, and Austin's about maybe 15 at the most.
Okay.
But, I mean, it wasn't, like, as long as the Rocks from last year, but it was, you know, everyone was hyped up for, like, about 3 minutes. We chanted, thank you, Austin, and pretty much that was it. And you probably just like, God, you gotta shut up. I gotta talk. But
yeah.
It was pretty cool. He's like, you know, and then he did that whole thing about Men's Warehouse because they messed up his suit.
Well, I haven't got to watch the Hall of Fame induction ceremony yet, so.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I you know, just some of the stuff he said was awesome, you know. And then Steamboat, of course, got inducted by Flair, and Flair's little spiel was cut down to about 5 minutes when it was really like 20, you know, so stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was cool. But I mean, oh my gosh, it was so much fun. I'm going again next year. I'm taking both my personal days and going next year.
Nice.
And,
nice.
But yeah, we got to see a whole bunch of people. Troy Wilson, we got to meet. I got pictures. I got about like 200 and some odd pictures on my camera.
So give us your thoughts on your weekend as a whole. WrestleMania weekend, from the Hall of Fame induction to the show and the fan access and everything, was it worth the money you paid to go see it?
Yeah. oh, yeah. I mean, at 1 out of 10, it was like a 15. I mean, that's how good it was. I mean, we were like, oh, shit, this is awesome.
Chrissy, I have the other card.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in, Jersey Girl. You have a safe flight back tomorrow, and enjoy the rest of your night.
I hope so, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, thank you. All right, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break right here on the WrestleMania wrap-up show. Come back, we're going to hit the big four. Taker, HBK, the Legends, and the two title matches. Let's do WrestleTalk Radio Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I make them hot. I make them shiver. Their knees get weak. Whenever I'm around, they see me walk. They hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy.
Are you an avid tabletop gamer who doesn't have the time to sit and customize all the finer details in your miniatures? Then check out Burning River Model Works for everything you need to complete your tabletop miniature sets. Burning River Model Works specializes in custom bases, painting, and also miniature restoration service for all of your tabletop strategy games. Pricing varies depending on difficulty, along with the amount of time spent on the model or base. Shipping, as always, will be insured and sent to you via priority mail. For complete details, contact Drew by email at brmworks@yahoo.com or by telephone at 330-304-2025. Burning River Model Works. Custom miniature work for the avid tabletop strategy player.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Derry.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Pogan, the quickest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The Wild Talk Radio Network brings you a great enhancement for your internet browsing experience, the WTR Network Internet Toolbar. It's free, it's handy, it's very useful. The built-in toolbar incorporates the world's biggest default search engine, Google, so you can be sure your searches turn up the results you would expect. Not a Google fan? Switch your search engines to ExactSeek. Our toolbar is loaded with features and extras. A weather tracker, built-in radio, lots of gadgets with games and info. And it's fully customizable. The WTR toolbar has no spyware, no malware, won't automatically reset your homepage or personal settings. In addition, we have incorporated a scrolling ticker for alerts and updates. Plus, you can contact and reply to messages and updates through the message center.
add any RSS feed you want as well. The toolbar also has a built-in pop-up blocker that is more than just on or off. Get the WTR toolbar today. It's 100% free and a great enhancement to your web browsing experience.
Attention Wild Talk Radio Network fans. Are you looking for a show that is wholesome? A show that is family-oriented and kid-friendly? And a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live midnight Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
And welcome back. If you don't know that music, I just have two words for you. Game on.
There was actually something I wanted to touch on while we've got a bit of dead air. I know, I'll let you.
I just wanted to
bring up the fact that there was no tag team match on the pay-per-view tonight.
Well, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that because it was scratched from the actual pay-per-view lineup and made into a dark match, and it is going to be on the DVD.
I think that's kind of wrong because that's supposed to be an important match where they're unifying the tag belts.
And the Colognes won, by the way.
That is a surprise.
Nah, not really.
Tim, we have proof of GOAT theory. It's as good as the pictures themselves.
Oh, boy. Okay, for as much as Carlito has talked out publicly against WWE, I'm amazed that they would put, you know, they would make him a unified champion.
Not to mention how much does WWE love Miz and Morrison.
Well, to be honest, I think at this point, you can give them a break. I mean, they've been working the schedule so hard, and we got the draft coming up. I mean, they could use a little bit of time away from the championship.
Right. And let's be fair about it. If you're going to rebuild a tag team division, what better way than, you know, to have two teams that war with one another? Much like you had the Hardys and Edge and Edge and Christian and the Dudleys back in the old tag team division. So, and you know, the thing is like, I'm not surprised that they scratched it, because even without it, it was still a solid card. It was still an absolutely solid card.
Oh, I'm not denying it. It was definitely worth spending your money on this year, as Mania always is. It's definitely the safe pay-per-view to buy. But I was just surprised that it got scrapped last minute.
Well, you look at the pay-per-view as it is. This is one of the few WWE pay-per-views I can remember that ended on time.
It did end on time.
Yeah, you didn't have a 15 or even 20 minutes left over where they didn't fill a gap. This was dead on. So good idea to scrap the match because obviously we were loaded as it was.
Cliff, what do you think? Cliff?
Have you fallen off a cliff, Cliff?
I don't believe Cliff is with us anymore.
Okay.
Let's move on. Back, the big four. Let us get to the big four. And let's start with the Legends match. Because I truly feel that while the match itself is great, Ricky Steamboat looked awesome. He was in shape. It was good to see. I really think that they botched it. The ending. They botched that ending horribly. They could have done so much better with it, and they did. And you know, like I said, when that match ended, it left you with a kind of feeling. Not one of those feelings like, fuck yeah, that was awesome.
The match or the segment?
The whole thing.
Whole thing?
Yeah.
I was disappointed. I found it very disappointing. I thought, as I said earlier, Piper giving him the finish, then Steamboat giving him the finish, just all the Legends giving him the finish. I would have even been happy if, Rick just stayed on the outside and kept on going and doing his thing. That's fine. I think just a run of all three finishes, like what happened with the Cena elimination at No Way Out, and Jericho getting pinned, and then just all the Legends in the ring together. I thought that would have been something special. It would have given a nice finish to the storyline. It wouldn't have taken anything away from Jericho, because, let's face it, they are really Legends. And I thought that would have been a nice finish, and you could have had the wrestler come in and do his thing. Mickey Rourke, sorry. I'm always forgetting his name.
I don't think that, I really don't think that Mickey Rourke really had a place in that to begin with, after the way, everything got boxed up. Omega?
See, the ending could have saved it if they did it right, and I mentioned before, I don't get the whole, Jericho's a wrestler, Rourke is wrestling trained, we're gonna see him brawl it out a little bit, and actually, lock up or something, and they start,
boxing.
Yeah, just out of nowhere, and keep in mind, Jericho, in the middle of this match, Steamboat jumped out of the ring, landed on Jericho. Jericho got up and won the match. And afterwards, he's juking around with Rourke, and one punch lays him out and sends him to the back. It's a little inconsistency, and I think Spug had the right idea. I would have preferred it wouldn't have even had to have been, you've got one more match to go. I would have been happy if Austin came out at the end of the match to save Flair and set up for Rourke hitting the top rope headbutt that everyone was waiting on.
Right. I believe we're joined again by one Mr. Timmy Stein.
Hot kids!
Welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you. I love being called sir. It sure beats being called madam.
All right. Well, Cliff, thank you for joining us, man. I'm sorry we didn't get to you too very much. He's leaving, he says.
No problem. Don't mean to be leaving you, but I am here on the East Coast, and it's approaching 1 a.m. I got work in the morning, so you fellas have fun talking post-WrestleMania.
All right, man. We'll catch you next week. Have a good week.
Later.
Anyway, we're talking about the Jericho Legends match, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
And well, it was nice to see the sleeper hold and the crossbody and the flying knife edges off the top from Steamboat. You didn't get to see Snuka's finish, because I don't think that old fat body could have gotten up to the top rope and done, the leap of death like he used to do.
Well, he probably could have gotten up there, but I don't think he'd have made it down on his own.
Right, right. So, I mean, the entire match itself, I think, was just... It looked way too rusty, and, you're dealing with guys who haven't been in the ring in years. But Steamboat was on the independent scene with the ROH for a while. So, I mean, he looked the best out of all of them. But Snuka, you could tell, had some major ring rust. And Piper, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Piper, but, I mean, Piper was had been battling cancer for the past, you know, year and a half.
Oh.
And he looked, you know, they did look like it was time to finally hang it up.
If you'll let me interject as far as Piper goes, the one thing that I noticed during his time in the ring, 95% of the time he had a grin that he could not get rid of. He was having a lot of fun. And that, to me, that made the match for me, just seeing how much that Piper was enjoying being back in the ring, even though he was, like you said, you know, slow, and you could tell that everything was deliberate. If you put him in the ring with Ricky Steamboat, I'm sure that they could do a nice five-minute thing, and it wouldn't look too bad, because they'd both be moving kind of slow.
Possibly. You
know what I'm saying?
I do, and it's possible, but, I mean, you look at... Let's take for instance Snuka, just real quick. Snuka in there, when he was trying to hit some of, you know, his combination chops and punches, you could tell he wasn't hitting it, and Jericho wasn't going to sell it if he wasn't hitting him. And I think that took away from the match a lot, and I don't think that was part of the storyline. Steamboat came in like a house of fire, and Steamboat single-handedly saved that match from being the worst one on the card.
Yeah, you do have a point. I'm not going to disagree with you on that one at all, whatsoever. But, Superfly Jimmy Snuka, the one thing that really, 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 really gives me a grief. I have such a hard time sitting down watching wrestling with Owen. And he'll say, "Dad, who's that?" And I'll say, "That's the Superfly, Jimmy Snuka." He goes, "Is that Sim Snuka's dad?"
Yes.
Okay, I grew old. I grew to the age that I am watching Superfly from, you know, the superstars from the 70s and the 80s, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. And now it's not Jimmy Super, you know, Superfly Jimmy Snuka. It's Sim Snuka's dad. It just... a whole new perspective. You'll know what I'm talking about in about four more years, Pug.
Oh.
I
will. No, he's right. I will. Because I'm sitting down. I sit down with my daughter all the time, and we watch wrestling. And she knows Triple H, and she knows John Cena, and some of the bigger names. But, like, the names that I watch, like, I sat down with her the other day and popped in Ric Flair, the Definitive Collection. And I'm pointing out, like, oh, that's Harley Race, that's Dusty Rhodes. And we're watching an old videotape I had, or a DVD, and Dusty Rhodes came on the screen. And she goes, "Who's that, Daddy?" And I said, "That's Dusty Rhodes." "He looks too old and fat." I'm like, "Honey, you have no idea."
That's just the plumber, that's all, if you will.
I mean, that's the whole point of Dusty Rhodes. He's supposed to look like that. No, bug him about it.
Right.
Oh, jeez. I know I'm going to hit that point eventually, but I'm. Let's hope it stays fairly far off.
What point? Old and fat?
I think it's the kid thing.
Yeah, the kid thing. To the point.
Oh! You know, yeah. Having kids are great, and I'll tell you, Spug and I are two guys on this show right now who can relate with each other when I'm about to say what I'm about to say. Having a little kid makes you young again. It really does. It takes you right back to the wonderment of when you first started watching wrestling and actually bought the show as the product that it's presented to little kids. You know, the wonder that you see in the kids' eyes, it just makes you feel young again. It's when they get old enough to start dating and stop listening to you, sleeping until noon, and leaving the toilet seat up, drinking the milk out of the carton like you used to do, and not cutting the lawn. That makes you feel old.
Can I ask you something really strange? Doesn't it really, really scare you guys at times having to be responsible for somebody, though?
No. God, no.
Hell no. I'll tell you right now, you know, you guys right now, you're thinking, oh my God, what the fuck? Oh, what if this happens? And with us, it already
You don't think happened. About it, you just do.
And the very first time you hold that brand new, 5 minute old baby in your arms, you've seen it on the, you've seen it in romantic comedies, you've watched it in movies, you guys have watched the movie Knocked Up, and you saw what, Seth Rogen did when he picked up his daughter for the first time. And told his brand new baby how he met her mom, and she said, you know, like just do it already, and she, you know, without the condom. And so I did, and that's why you're here. Don't tell mom, but I think that was a good idea. And it's a totally different thing. You don't think about I'm responsible for this life. It's the feeling and the thought and the thinking is, look what I did. Holy shit! Right on. If you understand what I'm talking about when I say that. No, it's not a daunting thought at all. It's very rewarding, right, Spud?
It is very rewarding, and I tell you what, the first time, and you know, it's sometimes I get a little depressed that I didn't have a boy, you know, because you know you think of it as you're supposed to pass on, you know, the wrestling and the sports to the boy, but there's no, you know, nothing saying that, you know, a girl can't do it either. But
yeah.
No,
sorry, go ahead.
But sitting down with Madison and teaching her the things that my dad taught me and passing it down and hoping that it will, you know, it will seed into her brain and she will find a joy in it that I have found. And it's something that we can share and do together. That, you know, that is what's cool. Because I remember watching, I remember watching WrestleMania 3 on my dad's floor, because my parents are divorced, but I remember sitting there on the floor of my dad's house, in front of the TV, watching WrestleMania 3 and seeing Andre the Giant get body slammed by Hogan.
Yep. And the build-up to it.
And the build-up to it.
Yep.
And then...
Yeah.
And then you get, you know... It's something that I've had to watch every year since is WrestleMania. It falls right before or right after or on my birthday. It's one of those things that has been instilled. And hopefully tonight, you know, I kind of started that process with my kid because this is the first WrestleMania that she's seen and. You know, she saw the 25th WrestleMania ever. You know, who knows? They might be at WrestleMania 50 by the time I pass away or beyond that. And she can look back and, you know, talk to her kids about how she saw, you know, the original, you know, WrestleMania 25 where Undertaker went, excuse me, 17-0 and things like that. And you know what I'm talking about. And it sounds like I'm rambling, but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, when I was first able to actually watch some wrestling matches with Owen, his mother won't let him watch WWE because of what it was just because of what it was between 2000 and 2007, right? It was a little bit too grown up for him in a couple of ways. And nobody's going to argue that, really, right?
Right.
So, naturally, being involved with Stampede Wrestling, every time I got one of the DVDs ready, Owen was the first person not involved who got to watch the DVD. And
right.
I would actually gauge the quality of the show by his reaction to it. And I'm sorry to say, Spug, Ravenous Randy is not his favorite wrestler in Stampede Wrestling.
Boo!
You know, his favorite wrestler in Stampede is actually Juggernaut.
That's a big dude.
That is a scary fucking big dude.
Yeah.
Dude, he's huge.
Well, you can't carry the name Juggernaut and be a little guy.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's called Juggernaut. The guy's about 700,000 pounds. He knows judo. He actually trained judo and has like belts in it and shit like that, stuff like that. But he's only a couple of inches taller than me. I feel like a midget next to him because he's a house. But yeah, you know, Juggernaut's his favorite wrestler. And I remember very vividly the very first Stampede Wrestling show he got to go to live. And he was absolutely just floored by everything because naturally I had to be there 2 hours before the doors opened just to get everything ready. And we made sure that Owen was allowed to come in before the rest of the crowd. I snuck him in, made his mother pay the ticket price for her. I'm a prick. But I snuck Owen in the
That's
back.
That's because you are a dick, sir.
I am, but you got to remember that she and I hate each other, so it's okay. Anyway, I snuck him in, and half of the wrestlers are already in their gear and they're in their gimmicks and the whole bit, and they're walking around. And smartly enough, the heels are on one side and the baby faces are on the other side of the ring, and they're staying apart. They see my son walking, they know it's my son, and the heels are all growling at him. And whenever he turns away and he's not looking, they're looking at me with great big grins on their faces. He turns around, they're snarling at him again. It was just fantastic. Walk towards the back, and El Blanco Negro Dragon was standing behind the curtain without his gear on, but without his mask on. I peeked my head in there, and I said, "My son's here." And he says, "Shit, you should have told me." Threw on his mask really quick, and he walked out and looked at Owen, and he just started talking to Owen. You know, like you see Rey Mysterio coming out and interacting with the kids on his way to the ring. It was kind of like that, but extended because it was like pre-show. And my son's eyes were saucers. He absolutely could not believe that he got an autograph from El Blanco Negro Dragon, a guy that he's only seen on his TV that came off a DVD that his dad brought home. It was fantastic. And then the actual show came on, and I was trying to take as many videos of him in the crowd shots as possible. It was absolutely priceless. The main event comes out. It's Dirty Duke Durango. And I think he, if I remember correctly, I think he was going up against Hotshot Johnny Devine from TNA Wrestling, for those of you who don't know who my buddy Johnny Devine is. But Duke Durango comes out, and Owen is just standing up in his wrestling T-shirt that we bought him fresh that night. And he's got his arm out, and this is absolutely priceless. Dirty Duke comes right up to, and he's making like he's going to smack Owen's hand. Give him a high five, and just before he makes contact, pulls it back and does, you know, the brush against the side of his head. And his mother just starts laughing her ass off. And I look over at Owen as the camera is following Duke into the ring. I look over at Owen just in time to catch him and say, "That guy's a jerk." It brought me right back to my childhood when I was going to Stampede Wrestling. Thinking, "My God, that guy's a jerk, and how dare you, Bad News Allen?" You know?
Bad News Brown was awesome.
Oh, man, he was fantastic. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest thrills of my life was actually getting to shoot that TV pilot with Bad News Allen Brown.
He was a good guy. He really was a good guy.
He was a regular on the original Wrestle Talk Radio. We had him on every couple of months, live in studio.
So to make one more,
bottoms up.
To make a short story long, Nick. Yeah. Don't be scared of having kids. There's only one difference between Spug and me. You see, I have a son, so I've only got one dick to worry about. Spug's got a daughter. He's got to worry about all the dicks.
Yeah, dude. It's not fun being a dad because, like, well, it's not fun being the dad of a little girl because I literally have got. You know, so much shit to worry about.
Oh yeah,
so much shit. I've got my one of my friends whom I work with has a daughter who just turned 17.
Ooh,
and she's hitting the dating scene. She's hitting the dating scene right now, hitting it hard. And I'm watching it. And I'm laughing my ass off because this is what I have to get into. This is what I'm waiting on.
Man, yeah, you got it a lot worse than I do, Spud. You know, like, his mother is talking about taking my son out to the bar for his first drink when he's 20, and I'm thinking, bullshit, on his 18th birthday, I'm taking him to a stripper bar.
Anyway, let's get back to the pay-per-view.
Thanks for the sidetrack, Nick. Back to wrestling talk.
There was wrestling? Mm-hmm. There's a pay-per-view tonight?
Yeah, there was a little thing that WWE does. They call it WrestleMania. Maybe you've heard of it.
Oh, gee. Huh.
Yeah. So we've got the final four big matches to take a look at, don't we, Spugger?
Mm-hmm. We do. We started on the Jericho thing.
Yeah.
Then we kind of went off on our tangent. So, I mean, let's continue with the Jericho. The legend match at the end.
Well, we touched on it here and there throughout the night. The match itself, yeah, and I will agree that Ricky was the saving grace of that one. I did not expect. It seemed like every time he did a move, it was something I didn't expect out of him.
Right.
Especially when you have when his warm up is Piper. Who, he was never an aerial guy in the first place, so he's wrestling a slow match. And Snuka, who was the original high flyer, and you know he can't do that anymore, so you know you don't expect anything out of him either. So just kind of going through the paces until we finally got to Jericho and Steamboat, and damn. It was a nice build-up. That was good booking by WWE in the first place. So that much I was happy with.
Well, it's like I said at the beginning of the show when we first talked about it with, I think it was George who called in and asked about it. I'm wondering why Steamboat retired when he did, because he didn't look too far out of place and he didn't look like he lost too much tonight.
No, this is true.
It might be he just came to a point in his career where the road gets too long and too lonely.
The long and winding road.
Well, it's a very hard life as a professional wrestler.
Sure, you're talking to people who've done it. You're absolutely right, but look at the guys in the WWE right now who do a maximum of 5 storylines a year. Maybe show up for 4 pay-per-views total, 5 pay-per-views total. They're only on the road 100 days.
But still, it's not as easy as it sounds being on the road for 100 days. I mean, I'm talking from a puppetry experience, because I can also tell you my dad used to be on the road for 100 days. And it still comes to the point. I mean, he's now 57. He did 2 days away, and he came back, and he was just worn out.
Fair enough. Jimmy?
Yo.
Omega?
Yeah.
Nick?
Yo.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? Why don't we recharge during the break? We come back, and we'll talk about the match that stole the show tonight. Right here on the WrestleMania the WrestleMania review on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every single Wednesday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topics, and you lead the discussion.
Hadlin with shot, shoots, into the play-in, you get to choose who winds up in Dumbass Club. Fire on Us, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on Earth.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change!
Saturday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you an in-depth look into the world of pro wrestling with Joe Berghit's The Wrestling Report.
Oh my God!
Covering all of the latest WWE and TNA news, topical wrestling discussions, and more.
Know your rules and shut your mouth!
Plus, you never know who may stop by and join in on the conversation.
Hey, this is former WWF wrestler, Rory McAllister.
Hey, this is Scott Hudson from WCW and the WWE.
It's Joe Berghit's The Wrestling Report, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, the WrestleMania wrap-up show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm the Spud Guy. That is Nick, Tim Stein, and Omega. Thank you, everybody, for listening and joining us. So real quick, Timmy, tell me your fast thoughts on this match, Undertaker HBK.
Off the hizzle, my nizzle. Yeah.
Stab you.
Okay, I'm going to pretend to not know you from now on.
Promises, promises.
But, you know, the match, and Omega and I talked about this, the match is hard as hell to follow. And that match took the card from a solid B to an absolute A-plus card, because that match alone was worth the $50. That match alone was worth it.
Absolutely. It's not a surprise that it was going to be the match of the night, but what these two pulled off was definitely, at this point in time, match of the year candidate.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? Shawn Michaels delivered last year with Ric Flair, and he delivered again this year with Undertaker.
Well, yeah, you could put him in a wrestling match with a tree stump, and he managed to make it look good. I mean, that's what Shawn is good for.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Nick?
I've got to say, this is what the pay-per-view was in my book. This is the grade of match you aspire to be. I mean, the fact that it had so many of the finishes, and they just kept on going, and they sold it so well. Even the fact I thought Taker's entrance was a bit weak for what he normally does at WrestleMania. And I think they should have gone bigger than even anybody could have expected with Taker, because Shawn Michaels had such a big entrance as well.
But dude, that was.
But I thought the match itself, spectacular.
But you can't really say anything about, you know, the entrances, because his entrance was perfect for what they were trying to do. They had Shawn Michaels coming down from above in the white, with the cloudy background and heavenly, and then Undertaker comes up from below and rises from the depths. That was perfect.
I would have preferred to see some minions with the torches.
But it's been done.
Well, the whole thing
and Shawn didn't do it. And I thought it was a perfect, you know, up, down, and then up. And, you know, Shawn didn't have his pyro tonight. Undertaker had a ton to make up for what... See, his entrance was technically a little shorter because it took Shawn a lot longer to get to the stage. But they made up for it with that huge flame pyro setting the stage on fire. So I thought it was pretty evenly balanced.
Well, it's like Two-Fate. It's like the Riddler said in At Man Forever. Yours was good, his was better. It's all about showmanship. He didn't need the druids and the minions to come out and light the torches and that rising up from the platform and the fire, that was showmanship. That was an entrance. That's how it should be done. Shawn's was good. Taker's was better.
Okay. But I thought the quality of the actual wrestling itself, top notch.
Well, the only question I have for you, for all of you over what you just said, Nick, were you expecting anything else from these two?
No, not at all. I mean, no. I knew that you went into this match knowing Taker was going to go over, but you knew HBK was still going to give it everything he had.
No, I disagree with you. I think the build-up was perfect for it, and it had the majority of the fans wondering if maybe, just maybe, Taker was going to suffer his first defeat.
Yeah, that was the one thing I liked most about this match, is that through the build-up and all the way till the final minutes of the match, they did a good job of putting doubt in your head, which is really hard to overcome, you know, the Taker streak at Mania, because everyone thinks it's a given. Everyone thinks it's an absolute certainty, and maybe it is. So the trick and the hardest thing you have to do, and it's not put on a good match at Mania, it's making people think the Taker might lose, and they did a good job of that.
Oh, they did it, dude. They did a fantastic job of that.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, especially with having Michaels kick out of the last ride.
Oh, it
twice.
Was the one that got me was after the tombstone, because before then he tried the triangle choke, he tried the last ride, he tried the choke slam, so. You know, typical WWE universe, when they give it all their finishers, the last one they try is the one that does it, and Michaels still kicked out. And that look of absolute shock on Taker's face did it for me.
Oh, he sold that with his eyes completely, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I recall the person I was watching it just yelled out, "He is a freak." Just that look.
Well, you look at what Taker has done over his Mania career, and I think that this match by far was the shining diamond. This was the centerpiece match. This match right here was the definitive match of that wrestling career.
You know, the other thing about this particular match. Not only was it, if you'll excuse me, off the hook.
It was off the hook.
Potentially going to rank up there in the top five greatest WrestleMania matches of all time to this point for 25 years. One thing that this match did is something that a lot of the times you've heard me when I was doing the show full time bitch and complain and whine and moan about, and Spug has agreed with me on this one, and Omega has agreed with me on this one. And it's a simple case of they did what I grew up watching, was telling the story in the ring. Not
with
just
wrestling.
With the moves, but not just telling it. Not just telling a story in the ring. Telling it perfectly. You can tell a story in the ring, but if you don't get it perfect, it's just another story in the ring.
Right, and
this was perfection.
And the thing is with this particular match, would you expect anything less from either one of these guys?
No, not at all.
Well, anybody expecting anything less is rolling the funny green tobacco in the yellow paper.
Nothing wrong with a bit of that.
Well, if you do it too much, you're going to see the wrong thing and not think it's really good.
Well, the one thing that brought concern into your head was, you know, Taker's knees are bad. We just had the report that Shawn Michaels has bad knees at the same time. So it wasn't, the only doubt going into this match for me was, are they healthy enough to put on the match that I expect from them? And if they weren't, they did a good job of making me forget about it.
Exactly.
I think it's good that are they both taking time off after that match?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Both of them are hurting right now. And usually both of them have such light work schedules anyway that you probably won't even miss them on TV.
Well, there's so much.
Oh, yeah, but at the same time, you know, at least with Shawn Michaels, even if he does take time off from being in the ring itself, he can still add to the program by being on TV and doing his shtick on the stick.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Which I can see him doing, which is what he did before he came out of retirement, just to be able to get back into the ring again.
Well, you look at Michaels, and Taker, like, and I've said this before, Taker's going to retire next year. Taker is done, and I think we all know that. But
well, then I have to. Sorry.
But tonight, you know what? Tonight's match is one of those matches where, if both of them retired tomorrow, that's the crown jewel. That's the crown jewel. That's the one that's going to make everybody remember them for a very, very long time.
Well, when I'm thinking about this match, two things come to mind, and I wanted to address the, would you have reordered the pay-per-view and put that as the main event? And I don't think you could have done that, because that's something I've heard thrown around a bit. I just don't think it's possible, just because Mania should always end with the Royal Rumble winner, and it wasn't for the title, but it was a solid match. The other thing is, I'm thinking back to what Al Snow said about how your match shouldn't steal the spotlight. And I'm wondering, is this one of the times where it was a screw-up?
How is it
having a screw-up?
Having a
match too good?
How is that a screw-up?
Having that match as good as it was not a screw-up. The mistake was putting it on third last.
Yeah.
You reckon that would have been a better opener?
That would have been a better closer. Yes, I know you're defending both heavyweight championship titles, and you've got this big build-up for the triple threat, and then you got this big build-up with the this time it's personal. But they missed the ball in the simple fact that neither one of them was the big story leading up to Mania, never mind closing the show tonight.
Well, forget that. Forget that. Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair was in the middle of the card last year. And that was arguably the best match on that card last year, was it not?
Arguably, yeah.
I mean, there were a couple of really good ones. The Money in the Bank was good. There were a couple of good ones. But that was probably one of the best because of the ramifications of it. This one had, the only ramification it had on it was the streak. This match, and you know, everybody thinks that you have to put your best match at the end. You don't. You put your best match, and I heard this, I've heard this from several trainers, and I've heard this from a bunch of guys who've been in the scene for a very long time. If you're a smart booker, you put your best match at the beginning.
Except
because the rest of the show has to live up to that to keep the crowd.
Yes, but in this case, no, because the rest of the card would not have had any kind of opportunity to.
I'm not saying you made it the curtain jerker. No, God, no.
No way.
But where it was placed in the card, as far as before the two title matches, those two title matches should have tried to top what Undertaker and Shawn did.
Yeah, they should have tried to, but they failed, and it's a case of you had to know they were going to fail just because of the, first off, the abilities of both Taker and Michaels. Everybody knows how I feel about Shawn Michaels, but I could be objective and give credit where credit is due, especially in the case of tonight. In this situation, my reasoning for saying that it should have been the end of the show as opposed to the semi-main event is the simple fact that every year we hear about Taker's undefeated streak. Every year it's built up. Every year it's pointed out that he's 14-0, 15-0, 16-0. We've heard ever since it came to the fore that they decided that Taker was going to be undefeated every WrestleMania after his fourth or fifth consecutive win. And it's something that we've heard about. It's for the majority of today's wrestling fans, they've grown up with that knowledge. And the build-up that they gave in the 6 weeks before WrestleMania put this match over the top before it even had a chance to get off the ground. And this is my reasoning for why I'm saying they should have made it tonight's main event.
I don't think it was main event. It was a fantastic match, but because you have the title matches, I don't think it should have been the main event.
Yeah, if it's WrestleMania, I want the night finished off on the world title, one-on-one, no gimmicks, no nothing thrown in. I want a pure wrestling match. You know, it's just for tradition's sake. It just feels like Mania if that's how it finishes. Now, third to the last on the card, no. You put it between the world title matches, I'm fine with that. I mean, at least then Triple H and Orton have some chance of at least matching what they did. Because there's no way they could top it, certainly not. But you don't put it ahead of a triple threat that is guaranteed to be not nearly what that match was.
Okay.
Exactly.
I can concede your point, Omega, and you make a very, very valid one. It probably would have worked great as the semi-main. I'm still not completely swayed from my opinion, and I don't know that you guys are going to be able to do that with me tonight. But I can see where you're coming from on this one. And I could accept semi-main, but it shouldn't have been the third to last. Definitely not.
I actually think that they probably should have thrown the Divas match right after it, so it's not trying to compete with the rest of the wrestling, and you've got that little break of comedic.
Well, the Divas match worked well where it was.
Yeah, if I can say something from a booker's point of view, putting the Divas match right immediately after Taker HBK, steals your heat for the entire show.
It cools them down too much.
Exactly. Yep. If you were to put, say, maybe Hardy Matt after that,
that would have been a good placement.
Yeah.
So you would have the triple threat, then Taker, HBK, then Hardy, than Triple H Cena.
Triple H Orton?
Triple H Orton. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. I can see that. I will admit that I can see that, but I still don't think it should have been third last match on the card.
You know, yeah. Go ahead, Omega.
No, I think it's just pretty much universal at that point. It was just, yeah, you know that's going to be your best match of the night. It just devalues your world championship matches to make them follow that. So you at least have to get one out of the way.
Well, I do have one question for you guys before we wind up moving on to that triple threat match. You all saw this match. What did you think of the two moves that looked highly suspect? Let's put it that way.
Highly suspect.
Michaels going over the top rope, landing on his wrist, and then Taker dropping on his head after landing on top of the cameraman.
That was I actually really liked that spot with the cameraman. It went off, it was mentioned before, cameraman was out of position and didn't catch Taker like he was supposed to. That was a little dubious. I was really freaked out at that point. I thought someone broke something here.
Right.
That one really got. I think I missed the one that where Shawn Michaels landed on his wrist though.
Well, he dove over the top rope. He was on the top the corner post, and
okay.
He flipped over backwards the moonsault off the top rope.
Uh huh.
And Taker looked up, and he pushed Shawn sideways just as Shawn was about to make contact with Taker.
Okay.
And
see, the feed I was watching cut out, so I missed a few minutes of the match.
Okay. Well, that part of the match looked planned, but the landing when Shawn went down, and it's really hard to see at full, you know, at regular speed. When they showed it on the replay, like I put my nose right up to my monitor. And on the replay, when they slowed it down, you could just make out that Shawn landed. It looked like he landed very awkwardly on his left wrist, and he was down for a bit. And I actually heard the referee say, "Shawn, let me in the match." And Shawn said, "No." Shawn wouldn't let him. But I heard the referee actually say it.
There's a couple of times you could tell when they did the dive, when the Undertaker dive happened. You could see the ref kind of crawl over to Taker and be like, do you want, you know, you could see the lips moving and that I'm like, yeah, he's asking if he wants him to end it, you know, right now. And that, at that point, I'm like, it's too soon into the match. I mean, at that point, I mean, you're still like 15 minutes in, but still, for that type of match, it was way too early to end it.
Yeah, well, Spug, you and I were cheating a little bit because we know what the referee says when we see him.
Yeah, when we see him leaning down.
Yeah, we know what he says because we've been there.
You've been there. It's like, no, don't touch me. Just go away. Let me sit here a minute, stall. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's go away, stall. I'll be fine.
But the time spent with you saw Shawn talking to the referee took me right back to the match between Owen and Steve Austin, where he dropped Austin on his head and basically paralyzed Steve Austin. And everybody was wondering why he didn't go and pin Austin. He had him down and out and cold. Well, the finish of the match, Austin was supposed to win it. Austin couldn't move, and Owen didn't know what to do. He had to draw it out until Austin was able to recover. So what did he do? He posed. He turned his back to everything going on in the ring, so the cameras wouldn't really get a very clear shot of Austin telling the ref, "You better tell him not to touch me. I can't move," which is almost verbatim what Austin told the referee.
I believe his exact words were, "Tell him not to fucking touch me, I'll be fine."
Yeah, something like that. But you saw Owen posing for the camera, and he spent what, 3.5-4 minutes doing the posing until Austin was recovered enough to be able to roll him up in the small package.
Right.
And that's what it took me back to, the time wasted. I jumped to Undertaker being down and out here. When Undertaker was down and out and Shawn was doing what he was doing with the referee before he climbed into the ring and made the referee start the count.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that Shawn was that he's a veteran in the business just by the way he timed it. So Undertaker was able to recover and then get into the ring at 9.5.
Right.
But the way that those two were able to successfully cover both those moves, that was very impressive.
Right. So why don't we move on? I believe we're all of the consensus that match stole the show, that match, you know, was the shit.
It's the Modi candidate, MOTY.
Yeah, it is the Modi candidate, and I do believe that should win Modi. So why don't we continue on to the not-so-great part of the double main event. And it not because of the competitors, just because I feel this match is a bit lackluster because WWE has done it so much in the past. In WrestleManias, and that's the triple threat between Edge, John Cena, and The Big Show. And I really, really, really thought that that...
Let me guess, an army of Cenas? It's the apocalypse.
No. I really thought that could have had a better ending than it did.
Yeah, I can agree on that one.
And say what you want about him. Picked up both of them. Yeah, well, Edge slipped off. Edge fell off. So that right there kind of puts the kibosh on that. And two, it's old hat.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fourth time we've seen him F you the Big Show.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not like you can do any more than that. I mean, if Edge was still on him when he did the F, when he went for the FU, Edge dives. Okay.
Plain and simple.
I just got to make a little correction. He's only FU'd Show 3 times. The 4th time was an attitude adjustment.
Oh, fuck off.
That's fine. Anyway.
I hate that name.
Anyway.
Spud, you were saying?
No, you were talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I interrupted you. We went back and forth about this match before, just, you know, why did it have to be a triple threat, and we basically found out we wanted Big Show to do something on the show, which was pretty much the only idea going through our head at the time. It wasn't bad. It was, of course, coming off of HBK and Taker, it's not going to be as good. It's basically a cool-down match, which a world title match shouldn't be. Under any circumstance, when you have 3 matches in a row ending the way the general audience wants them to, I don't think that is booked very well. I think you need, if you're going to have 2 world title matches and The Undertaker continue his streak, then one of the world titles has to go to a heel. You have to break it up a little bit.
Oh, you know, the thing with it, and I'm going to defend this real quick. The thing with the Triple H Orton match ending the way it did wasn't so much that, you know, that was the way the fans really wanted it to go. That furthers the storyline. Because once... You know, once Orton, say Orton beats Triple H, what storyline is there to further going into Backlash? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you could continue the storyline they've got going now. See, right now, there's nothing protecting Orton. He hasn't won the Rumble.
He doesn't have an upcoming world title, and now he doesn't have a world title around his waist as an excuse to not do anything.
Which makes me think that he's gonna get shipped off to SmackDown.
It's a possibility, but at the same time, they're McMahons. I'm hoping the writing team is smart enough to know, firing you means, your suffering ends. And as long as you're under contract, we can make your life a living hell. Which is where I want them to go with this. But
they
Orton
might.
But Orton being the heel he is right now, I kind of would have wanted him to have something, protecting him from all that wrath. And right now he's defenseless.
Oh, maybe this is where they buff up Legacy a little bit or do something with Legacy. You know what I mean?
Possibly, yeah. Legacy's been. I'm sorry to see Legacy the way they're going right now.
Oh, it's floundering.
Yeah. It's been in neutral. It's been all about Orton. And you're not doing anything that's elevating Cody Rhodes and DiBiase Jr. They should have been in the world title picture for the tag belts by now. And they're not. And especially now.
Well, they've held the tag titles.
Yes, but they shouldn't have ever been pulled out of it. And they should be what Orton is to the world title division for the tag team division. They should be the top, cutthroat heels. Whereas you've got Miz and Morrison who are borderline comical type heels.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see that contrast, and right now when you've got such a depleted tag team division, you can't afford to take a team out of it just to make them Orton's henchmen.
True.
Yeah, you need to keep them in there, give them a few wins over Crime Time, give them some wins over Carlito and Primo, make them credible so Orton doesn't look like he's backing a couple of jobbers. Because that was the whole point in Legacy. You earn the right to be here, and you earn the right to stay here. And they've been completely thrown aside lately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're still going by those rules, they would have been out on their asses by now.
Which is fair enough.
Ooh.
Fair enough.
Maybe they're going to have to do something with Sim soon.
Oh, what they need to do with Legacy is pull all the second generations in. Carlito, Primo, they need to pull them all in.
Well, what Legacy is missing right now is a lieutenant. It needs someone that could still hold the group together and still give a focus to them if and when Orton is in the middle of a storyline like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Ric Flair was in Evolution. He was the right hand man of the leader, Triple H.
Right.
And he helped carry the storylines for Batista and Orton while they were getting their push. Right now, there's no one to do that for Rhodes and DiBiase. They're just on their own, and they're there to take punches for Orton. And they have been ever since this feud started.
Right. Well, fair enough. Fair enough. It's getting to be late.
Yeah.
And I hate to end on such a note. But I want to take the last few minutes of the show to get everyone's final thoughts on the pay-per-view as a whole. And I want to start with Tim.
Final thoughts on the pay-per-view as a whole. To tell you the truth, in my opinion, it does not overall stack up to last year's WrestleMania.
No. Well, how can you stack up to the WrestleMania that saw Flair retire?
Yeah, you do have a point. However, the Taker HBK match, guys, gives it an A-.
Okay. Omega?
Yeah, I'm going with the A-, too. That was a match. Before you got here, a couple of us gave some letter grades, so I'm sticking with the A- here. It's a solid one, but I had my issues with a couple of the finishes to the matches and a few of the outcomes, and a few of the spots, especially in the Money in the Bank, I wish went off a little bit better. But, yeah, absolutely solid show, and, yeah, you get a full letter grade boost by HBK and Taker alone.
Nick?
I'm going to stick with the A-minus. The HBK Taker really boosted it up for me in my book. I thought the main events, to be honest, I thought they were a bit weak. I thought the Money in the Bank was a bit weak as well. Although I'm going to say this to you, I'm going to be rewatching the WrestleMania just to see if there are things I missed, because remember, I missed a good chunk of it, so it's hard for me to make a comment.
Right. I'm going to give it...
Take care of yourselves and each other.
I'm going to give it a solid... And you're all going to laugh at me, but I'm going to give it a solid A+. Because I think with the amount of hype that they had to deal with being the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania, you know, the matches that they had on the card... And, you know, the way that those matches were portrayed, for the most part, really did do the pay-per-view as a whole justice.
Hold on a second. There's something I have to correct, which has been shitting me for a while. It's not the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania. It is the 25th WrestleMania. It's not the 25th anniversary. It is the 24th anniversary. Because the first year you have the show, it's not an anniversary for itself. It's anniversary zero.
Nick, it's 25 years of WrestleMania. It's the 25th anniversary of the initial concept. I get what you're saying, dude. I really do. I really do. And I understand, because I had somebody say that to me earlier today. But it is indeed...
It is the 25th WrestleMania. I'll pay credit where credit's due. It's phenomenal to be doing something for 25 years. Especially consistently a pay-per-view. How many pay-per-views have just come and gone? December to Disremember. Perfect example. New Year's crap revolution. But it's not the 25th anniversary. 25th anniversary will happen nicely next year. That's all I'm saying.
All right. But
all I'm going to say, Nick, is you just stick to your guns no matter how wrong you are.
Fuck you.
But anyway, thank you all for listening. You've been listening to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the WrestleMania wrap-up show, as it were. We appreciate you all tuning in. Tune in on the 19th of this month. For another edition of WrestleTalk Radio. Remember to stay tuned for all the fantastic programming coming up each and every night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hit the forums, wildtalkradio.com. You can chat with all of us there. And if you need a website, it's affordable and it's great looking. WTRProductions.tk. Have a good night, everybody. I'm the Spud Guy. That's Timmy Stein. That's Omega and Nick. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.